Tulip Mania. Tulip Bust Part 3. The disaster spreads. When the bust came, prices didn't exactly fall instantly and simultaneously throughout the United Provinces. Some florists did move from town to town, but most did not. So the news took a day or two to travel. In any case, the Dutch bulb trade was really a number of separate markets, one in each of the towns affected by the tulip mania. Prices in one city lagged frequently behind those in another. The florists traded different bulbs. The tulip traders who met in one of the taverns were subtly different from those who made up every other college in the Dutch Republic. So while the tulip trade was in ruin in Haarlem, it continued to flourish briefly elsewhere. In Amsterdam, where the news of the disaster in Haarlem surely reached the tulip colleges by Wednesday, trade was still strong on Friday in February the 6th, when a pound of Switzers sold for 1,065 guilders in the college of a tavern called the Mennonite Wedding. But the tulip trade in Amsterdam approached a crisis point on February the 7th, when a florist named Joost van Kluik bid 1,100 guilders for another pound of Switzers, owned by Andres Boscher. Joost seems to have had second thoughts about his purchase, since he asked Boscher to guarantee him that the price would not fall. De Boscher produced a colleague named Pieter van der Kruis, who was prepared to promise him 1,200 guilders. But even this did not entirely satisfy Joost. De Boscher had doubts that Joost had the means to make good his guarantee. And so on February the 11th, they all went to a local notary to write down the whole agreement and make it legally binding. That meant the deal was still alive 8 days after the Haarlem crash, and that deals were still being made in Amsterdam a week later. The same thing happened in the South, where trades were still being made in The Hague on February the 4th. Ultimately, the desperation of the bulb dealers was exacerbated by the fact that the great majority of florists had participated in the Vinhandel, that is, of course, trading paper on paper on paper. And when the market collapsed, they still remained liable to fulfill the future contracts that they had agreed to. Practically every trader had put down deposits on tulips that were now worthless. Yet they would be expected to pay the substantial sums to complete the purchases when the bulbs were lifted in only a few months' time. Many had little choice but simply to default. The collapse of the tulip trade had serious implications, even for those who sold bulbs before the crash and appeared to have walked away with good profits. One involved a local dealer named Gerrit Amsterdam, who attempted to claim that the fancy Boosterman bulb that was of 563 aces that he had purchased for 263 guilders was actually nothing more than a common Boosterman, worth far less than what he had paid. The other concerned man named Wilhelm Lorenz, a florist from Heemskerk, just outside of Haarlem. He had bid 512 guilders for a bulb of a rosin variety called Anvers Vestis. The money to be paid, the tulip had flowered satisfactorily. A year and a half after the auction, Lorenz still had not discharged his debt, and Jacob van der Meer and Jacob van der Gest, the two regents of the Alkmaar orphanage who acted as guardians of the Winkel children, took him to court for non-payment. The regents swore that they had invited the florist repeatedly to inspect his flower and settle his debt. Lorenz's defense, and it sounds like a flimsy one, was he had made an appointment to meet van der Meer outside the garden where the bulb was growing one morning in May of 1637, that the regent failed to show up, and that after waiting half an hour, the florist had left. Van der Meer indignantly countered that there had never been an appointment, that the tulip had flowered magnificently and had been available for inspection for several weeks, and it should be paid for as agreed. The position of the growers was a little better than that of the florists. Even after the tavern trade had come to a halt, connoisseurs did continue to pay extraordinary prices for tulips. On March 17th, a Haarlem merchant named Derek Bortens sold a quantity of bulbs, including an Admiral Lefkens and a Sablum, to one Pieter van Wessen for no less than 11,700 guilders. Van Wessen went to inspect the flowers in the middle of April and discovered some of them were in poor condition. So Bortons agreed to knock 300 guilders off the original price. Van Velsen could not have been too worried about the collapse of the tulip colleges, for he confirmed that he was still perfectly content to pay the balance of 11,400 guilders and agreed to do so in three installments, 4,000 guilders in June, 3,700 at the end of August, and the remaining 3,700 the first day of February, 1638. This was a private agreement between two genuine flower lovers who had probably never bothered themselves with the tulip mania going on around them and who could well afford the fantastic luxury of spending 10,000 guilders or more on plants that would be enjoyed for only a few weeks each year. Among the most affluent and high-class tulip traders, there were still occasional signs of optimism about the state of the market. John Quackel, the rich Harlem grower who owned the Golden Grape, traveled to the auction at Alkmaar the day the prices crashed in the colleges of his hometown and felt confident enough to part with 3,260 guilders for some Wouterwinkel fine bulbs. And in May of 1637, Jan Admiral, the fashionable Amsterdam dealer who grew tulips in the garden behind his house on the exclusive Prinsengracht, the Prince's Canal, agreed to guarantee his customer, Paulus de Hoogh, that he would make at least 20% over the next 12 months on any tulips he bought from the Admiral's flower beds. Yet the collapse of the tavern colleges threatened to bankrupt not just the florist, but a substantial number of bulb farmers too. Any growers who had been tempted during the mania to expand their business and sell to florists as well as connoisseurs was affected, and the crisis was serious enough to prompt the professionals to unprecedentedly rapid action. As early as February the 7th, only 4 days after the crash in Harlem, the growers of the provinces of Holland and Utrecht agreed to arrange a general meeting to be held at Amsterdam to discuss ways of minimizing the damage caused by the collapse in prices. Even in a country the size of the United Provinces, some of these towns were 2 days' journey from each other. So the growers' reaction was astonishingly rapid. It can only have been the result of the most acute concern about the future. So as they're trying to fix this, as they're trying to maneuver around, things are still slipping away and will continue to slip away. But as far as damage to the general, shall we say, economy of the Dutch Republic, the mania is not going to destroy the real economy, but it's certainly going to cause internal problems. And we've got quite a bit to go yet. Now the sources for this, The Book of the Tulip by Hall, The Tulip by Pavord, Delusions and Madness of Crowds by McKay, Tulip Mania by Dash, and The Revolt of the Netherlands by Guile. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.